This is Dale Gentry, reminding you that you are listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for Prophetic Thursday with your host, Allison Keeber. Remember, the views and opinions on this program may or may not be the views of Breakout Prayer Network. BPN Radio is not responsible for any counsel or prophetic words given on this program, but we are absolutely delighted that you are listening. Now, here's your host for Prophetic Thursday, Allison Keeber.
All right, good Thursday morning, everybody. You are listening to BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, where we're calling America to pray around the clock and around the globe, broadcasting live from our studios in Austin, Texas. Good morning. My name is Allison Keeber, and I am your host for Prophetic Thursday. We are so delighted that you are here with us. As we dive in today, it's important to remember that the views and opinions of those on this broadcast may or may not be the views of Breakout Prayer Network. BPN Radio is not responsible for any counsel or prophetic word given throughout this broadcast, but we are absolutely delighted that you are here and you are joining us today. We want to send a special thank you to our loyal listeners and our loyal contributors to help us continue to bring this ministry to you. We also want to give a shout out to our producer Michael Schoenborn, and obviously all of those people who help put this out there. I want to send a special thanks to you, Pastor Dale Gentry, Ruth Gentry, his station manager, my husband who is working the controls on the backside here, and all of the other people who are associated with Breakout Prayer Network and bringing this ministry to you. And of course, thank you to you, those of you who are listening on BPN Radio, and those of you who are joining us via Facebook Live. If you're listening on BPN Radio and you kind of wonder what it's like over here on Facebook land, you can come over and join us on Dale Gentry's fan page. And that's just simply Dale Gentry. You can go there and you can catch us live. We leave all of our recordings up there for you as well to enjoy later. Like I said, my name is Allison Keeber. I'm joined by my husband this morning, Ian, and we are excited to go ahead and get started. Like I said, we're going to, I said here in the Facebook post that we're going to preach a little bit and we'll prophesy as the Lord leads. So thank you to those of you who are leaving your names for us. You're leaving those on our Facebook posts. You're emailing those into us. Some of you are calling into the prayer line with those names. And we just want you to know that we write all those names down. We pray over your names. And so if you don't receive a word today, know that you are being prayed over. And also, too, as you may have heard me say time and time again, that, as we prophesy today, as words are spoken today, you may or may not hear your name specifically attached to a word, but that doesn't mean that that word is not for you, right? That we all know that we can receive a word from God through many different ways. And one of those ways is by hearing a word that's spoken for someone else, but our spirit just leaps at that word telling us like, hey, that's your word too. And so I just want to encourage you today that even if you don't hear your name, that there may be a word that is spoken here for you today. As we know, Prophetic Tuesday and Prophetic Thursday are two of our most listened to programs here at BPN Radio, simply because people desire to hear a word from the Lord. And as Pastor Dale has said many, many years now, that one word from God can change your life forever. How many of us know that that is absolutely truth? That one word from God has the power to literally change our lives forever. And I just want to dive into that further about that word from God, because a word from God can change our lives forever, but also to our obedience to that word can change our lives forever. I believe that there's many people who have words spoken over them, but they fail to write them down. They fail to rehearse them. They fail to really believe that that is a word for their lives, or that that could possibly come to fruition. And so therefore, they just kind of let it fall off. They let it lie dead, and they don't walk out in obedience to see that word come out into play into their lives. Trust me, I know what it's like to receive a big word for your life, to receive a word that you know, you're like, wow, that's big. I have one written down that says Ian and I are going to write a $1 million check one day to a ministry. And that's a really wow word for he and I. But we wrote it down. We rehearse it. We have received it in our spirits. And we're just waiting for, as we walk out in obedience, for that word to come to pass. Because we believe in God's word that was spoken to us specifically. Now, I don't know. I have an idea of what that will look like, but what I do know is that often my own ideas cannot even compare to the bigger picture that God has. So while I see myself one day writing a big check, perhaps God sees it in a different way of how that check is written. What I know is that God's word has the power to come forth, right, in my actions, in my obedience, in such to his word. I share that with you because it's important that as we receive these words, that we receive them with our spirit. Okay, so it's, you know, receiving a prophetic word has to be received with your spirit, because with your mind, it just doesn't have the power or the capacity to receive that of the supernatural, right? It just doesn't have that power. And so we have to receive it with our spirits, right? And we have to understand that as God gives us a vision, that he gives that to us directly through his Holy Spirit as we listen to him and as we follow him. Right? God puts that in us. And so if he's given us a vision, if he's given us a word, if he's given us a dream, know that that vision can be accompanied by a passion, right? It's going to be accompanied by a passion of like, I got to do this. I got to do something to move towards this. Now, according to 1 Corinthians 13:9, we know in part, and so we prophesy in part. What's really important to understand about that scripture is that a prophet cannot give you your vision, right? That's revealed to you as you walk with God, right? And so there's not a vision that a prophet's going to give to you, but we also know that it's just a word, right? That scripture tells us it's just a word. It's simply a word from the Lord, a small part of a much bigger picture. So prophetic word can be a now word, it can be a future word, it can be a confirming word, and it can be a brand new word, right? I had never heard that we're going to write a $1 million check before word. That was a new word for us. And so as 1 Corinthians 14:3 states, but he who prophesies speaks in edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So you can always know that Holy Spirit is going to speak to you through a prophetic voice in that way, right? He's always going to speak to you through love and truth, and he's going to comfort you with the words that are spoken. Now, like I said, we don't have the capacity to receive it with our minds, so we're going to pray that our spiritual eyes and our spiritual hearts and our minds just be opened, our ears open to be able to hear a word from the Lord. And so many hunger for a word from the Lord. So today, my prayer is that each of you hear something, whether it's in the message that's delivered today or words that are spoken today, but you came here with an expectation to receive something that you have been coming to the Lord and desiring from him, asking him for, that he is going to deliver that to you today. I'm believing that in Jesus' name. So before we get started, let's go ahead and open in prayer together. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this time and this space. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is here with us. God, that you are with us each and every step, God. God, today I'm believing that your message will be delivered in the way that you want it to be delivered, God. God, I'm believing that the words spoken today will fall on hearts that are ready and that are listening and are able to receive your words, God. God, I'm believing that those words spoken today will put those who receive into action, God. God, that it will increase their faith, it will increase their belief, and it will increase their footsteps, God. Footsteps in the direction that you have for their life, God. God, I'm believing that those who have come here today with hurting hearts, with broken hearts, God, who have come here out of sadness or loss of hope, God. God, maybe someone's here who's bound by addiction, God. God, that you know the depths of their hearts, God. And that today, God, there be something that's spoken here of you, God, that allows them to step out in freedom, God. God, I believe that you have the power to make all things possible, God. And I believe that your word tells us that through you, all things are possible, God. I'm believing today that my voice will be overtaken by your voice, God. That my lips will move as your lips. That my tongue will move as your tongue, God. And that your words will be spoken here today. God, we glorify you. We magnify you. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. God, we love you. Have your way today, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right, so today I told you I was going to preach a little bit and then I'll prophesy as the Lord leads. Now, God put a lot of stuff on my heart as I was praying for you and I was praying over Prophetic Thursday and praying like, what is it that God wants me to deliver? And I just have to tell you, I was sharing with Ian, my husband, that I just love the, if we have our spiritual eyes open, that we can just look for those little cues from God that he sees us, that he hears us, and that he's here with us. And so everywhere I turn today, literally, my Bible, my devotion, a journal that I had that I remembered that I had some notes taken down in there, totally aside from what I was going to be talking about today, all of these places led me to confirmation of what God wanted to do here today. I love that, again, when we're looking and we're listening and we're walking out in obedience, that he will send us those confirmations, right? Those confirmations are lying all around us, but we have to be noticeable of those, right? We have to be a noticer when it comes to the things of God, because he's a whisperer. Right? He's a whisperer. He's not a shouter. The enemy is a shouter, right? But God is a whisperer. And so he just leaves these little gentle confirmations all over. And so, like I said, everywhere that I turned, not one single place did I turn today that there was not a confirmation lying there where it was either the exact same scripture that God had given to me today or the same exact story that God had given me to me today to share with you. So I will start with this because this is how I'm going to wrap this up. And I'm believing as God was revealing this to me, he was telling me that there are going to be people here today that this message in itself is going to be a word for you. That the message itself is a word for you. So I want to encourage those of you who aren't driving, who are in a space where you can sit down with a pen and a journal to write down what God downloads for you today. Now, it may be something that's spoken through my mouth today, or it may be something that's stirring in your spirit, but I encourage you to write that down. Write it down. Don't let it fall to the floor. Don't think that you're going to remember it later. Right? You might have a hint of remembering it, but you will not remember exactly what God was trying to download into you in this moment. And so I just encourage you to walk into that space, to just come into a place where you can sit down and you can get comfortable and you can take it all in. Again, it may not be the words that are exactly spoken here today, but what God is knitting into your heart and saying to you, write that down. It's important. He has something just for you specifically. All right, and so I want to start with John 16:33. John 16:33, and in this world you will face tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, here's the thing that we need to know about God, right? Is that nothing good will be withheld from you, okay? That's a word for someone right there, is that his word tells us that nothing good will be withheld from us. Now, I know some of you are like, well, I have prayed for some really good things. I have really aligned myself with what I believe the desires of God's heart are to become my own desires. And those are good, right? Those are good desires. But God has specific good desires for you that may seem good in your fleshly time, right? And right now they may seem good, but God has something greater, right? Because nothing good will be withheld from us. And so today I want to talk to you about courage. and how courage is intertwined in John 16:33. And as I was diving into this and talking to God about, okay, God, what do you want to talk about courage? He took me to Elijah. Okay, so here we are, we get a word and from the New Testament, right? John 16:33, and then he takes us all the way back to the Old Testament, right? Takes me back to 1 Kings. And he's talking to me about Elijah. And the message that he put into my heart about Elijah was that Elijah, God showed him a vision, right? God told Elijah that it was going to rain, right? So Elijah then prophesied that it was going to rain, right? 1 Kings 17. So Elijah prophesied that it would rain, and God is a promise keeper, right? He doesn't withhold anything good from us, right? And so we can be reminded here through Elijah that God is a promise keeper. Now, I think it's important to note that Elijah saw this, right? He prophesied this. Now, it was some time before it rained, right? There's a whole story in that of how long it was before it rained and the drought, right? Now, it's a word for some of you right there. Some of you are in a drought, and it's been so long of a drought that you're forgetting that God had prophesied through you that it was going to rain. Okay, that it was going to rain, and this is like a good rain, right? And so Elijah, believing what God had shared with him, he sent his servant seven times. Seven times he said, go look at the sea and come back and tell me what you see. Okay, seven times. Now, many of us have been given a word or a promise from God, but when we search for that promise, when we go out and we look for that promise, we go out and look over the sea, we come up empty-handed. We don't see it. It's not there, God. It's not there. And so what do? We tend to walk away from it, right? We tend to walk away from the vision, the dream, again, that vision followed by a passion, something that God gave to us specifically, but because we didn't see it in our time or when we thought we were supposed to see it, we walked away from it. We walked away from it. And so, but Elijah, he didn't waver, right? He said, go look again. Okay, so the servant goes and looks again, comes back. Sorry, nothing. Still nothing. And each time he comes back, and he comes back with a message of nothing. How many of us have had a vision, we've had a dream, but it seems like, not that it's just like far away, like out in the distance, but that it's not even there. Like, it does not even exist, and you keep going back to it. You're like, I wrote that down. It was funny. I spoke at a woman's event recently, and I spoke on a message of Esther, and she told me, she said, in 1988, I was prophesied almost per word exactly what you said today in 2018. Okay, that's a long time. That's a lot longer than 7 days, right? That seven times that Elijah's servant went there, right? So some of us have a word that it's in us, but it's become dormant, right? And so it's not just far out there. It's just become a word that we no longer see. It's a dream that we no longer see. But Elijah said, look again. Seven times he said, look again. Elijah never wavered from God's word. And I just want you to think today, as we kind of dive into this story and we dive into the word courage and we dive into a little bit about Elijah, what dream is it that God has put into you that is so far away that it looks like it doesn't even exist? That it's been buried so deep that you've started to think, it was never a word for me in the beginning. It was really never my word. Even though God promised you, right? The promise keeper promised you that word was for you. And there's some of you who are doubting right now as you sit in the dark, as you sit in the drought of what God showed you in the light, of what God showed you when it was raining before, right? And you're doubting. And here's the interesting thing too that I find about this story is that on the seventh time when his servant went out there and finally saw, what did he see? He saw a minuscule, tiny, little cloud, right? It was little. Like, it was not like a thunderstorm coming on the horizon. It was this tiny little piece of a dream, of a prophetic word that was out there, out still hovering over the ocean. And Elijah said, go then, tell them the rain is coming, right? Tell them that it is coming. Now, that's another word for someone today, because how many of us are like, okay, I have a glimpse of it. I can kind of see it. It's starting to come back, but it's so minuscule. How can I possibly speak that out loud? How can I possibly stand on solid ground and think that someone would believe me that this is going to come forth? And I think about that, and I think, what if Elijah had not had the courage, or he had wavered in what God had promised him, right? What if he wouldn't have had that courage? Well, one of the things that I love about the Bible, and I love reading the stories in God's Word, is that it's full of real people, right? God's Word is full of real life people. Like, Elijah was a real life person, right? He was a real person, and Elijah ran in fear from Jezebel, right? He ran in fear because he said, she's going to murder me. She's going to murder me, and I'm going to run in fear. And so he ran in fear, and he found himself under a broom tree. Now, if you can imagine, I mean, a broom tree is pretty accurately described, because it's a long tree trunk with just a little bit of shade. There's really no shade from this, like, shape of a broom tree, right? But he went and he sat under this broom tree. And discouragement has been a battle for all of us. How many of us have, again, we've seen that dream out there, and then we got discouraged because it was so much littler than we thought it was going to be. Like, it's just, how am I? I'm one person. How am I supposed to do this? And what I love about Elijah and his story is that he alone reassures us that we're not alone, that he wasn't just one, but that even a prophet, a strong man of faith, faced fear. He faced discouragement. But what did Elijah do differently? He didn't let the fear and the discouragement take over him, right? He didn't let it overtake him. And oftentimes, Elijah felt alone because only what he could see around him, right? Only what he could see around him. But the word tells us that there were 7,000 Israelites who refused to bow down to Baal, the false god. There were 7,000 others. Come on, this is a word for someone, that you're feeling alone just because you can't see the 7,000 others who are standing with you, who are praying to the same God you're praying to, right? Who are standing in the gap with you, but you can't see them. And so you're feeling discouraged. You're feeling like you're all alone. How many of us have such a narrow vision? How many of us tend to lock our own selves in isolation? How many of us say, well, I just want to give up because I'm all alone and I'm only one? I'm only one. And then enter Elisha, right? Elisha, who gave up what his family, his wealthy family, what he would have had there to follow Elijah and to follow God's plan. And as Elijah was taken up in chariots and fire up into heaven, a double portion fell down on Elisha. Now I want to kind of stop right there. And I want you to think for a moment about legacy. And I want you to think a moment about what you're doing and what you're leaving and what your walk of courage. And to take yourself out of that place of isolation, right? To take yourself out of that place and to say, but it's more than just about me, right? It's more than just about me. And you know, the Greek word, many of you know that I love to kind of research the Greek, right? And research kind of what these things mean. But the Greek for courage is tharseo. Tharseo. T-H-A-R-S-E-O. And the meaning of this is dare to be bold, to trust in something or someone. Dare to be bold, trust in something or someone. Now, I find it very fitting that Elijah told his servant 7 times to go out and look again. And I'm a numbers person. Numbers just kind of stick out to me. They should to you in the Bible as well. Because it's 7 times in the New Testament that courage is used as a verb. A verb. Like, it's a command, right? It's a command. And behind those command lies the claim of Jesus, right? The gospel of Jesus wipes away all anxiety and all stress. So when we are discouraged and we're frightened, we can take courage. Tharseo. We can take courage. As a reminder of what Christ has done for us and who he is in us, right? And I love when I come back to John 16:33, right? In this world, you will face tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Take courage. Matthew 9:2. Jesus tells the paralytic to take courage because your sins are forgiven. Matthew 9:22. Jesus tells the woman with a hemorrhage to take courage because your faith has made you well. Matthew 14:7 and Mark 6:50, when he is walking on water, he tells his disciples to take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And in Acts 23:11, the exalted Lord comes to Paul in prison, telling him to take courage because Paul's hope for going to Rome is not in vain. And then John 16:33, take courage. For I have overcome the world. And I love that when we break it down from the Greek, it can literally be translated as this. In this world, you will go through some distressing times. But take heart and be courageous. I have overcome the world. I have claimed victory. That is so good, because I think some of us, again, what happens in those places of discouragement, of anxiety and of stress, right, is that we forget that victory isn't going to win. Victory has already been won. But we have a choice, right? Because what does the gospel tell us? The gospel doesn't tell us that, you know, that God will one day love us, that he'll one day receive us, right? The gospel tells us that he has already received us, but that we have the choice. We have the choice to say yes or no, right? One of the greatest gifts that he gave to us, the choice, right? The choice. But he's already received us. Victory has already been won, friend. Claim it. He wants you to take courage and claim the victory that is already yours. Yes, there may be a drought happening in your life. Yes, you continue to look out over the horizon and see nothing. But there is a dream, there is a word, there is a vision deep down inside of you that God wants to pull back out of you today. He wants to pull that back out of you. And I know what some of you are thinking, because when I hear stories sometimes of people like Elijah, you know, he was good, right? He was good. And when I read some of the stories of the Bible, oftentimes I want to go, well, you know, they're good people, and I don't know, I've done a lot of bad, I've made a lot of mistakes, and I've got some stuff. And then I'm reminded that when I look in Matthew, and it's recounted the genealogy of Jesus, that there are 5 women listed in that genealogy. So that alone in itself, women, right? Like to kind of think that we're not important, right? Like that lie that we don't matter. It is listed in his word. There are 5 women in that genealogy in a time when, yes, you didn't list the women. 5 women. And 3 of those women had such distasteful acts in their life, like incest and prostitution and murder and fornication and adultery, right? You gotta plug me in, honey. Plug me in. And so we think, well, I don't know what I can do, because I have some of those things that I've done myself, and I don't know how much of God's plan or how much of God's stories I take place in. And so we let the lies overcome us and take us out of, again, the promises that God had delivered to us, right? And so, friend, I don't know what you're facing today, but I know that this word that God put in my heart today was for someone, maybe just one. Maybe there was just one person that today's word was for. You know, last night I posted a quote on my Facebook, and it simply was this: some people won't like you simply because your spirit irritates their demons. And I didn't know that would resonate with so many people, but it has resonated with a lot of people. And I think that the reason why that resonates is because there's so many of us who, again, we've gone to that place of isolation. We've gone to a place where we've forgotten about the dreams and the visions that God has placed inside of us, simply because when we came around a group of people, they were a little irritated by us. And we thought that had something to do with us, right? We thought there was something wrong with us. So what did we do? We went and we hid. And we took ourselves out of that. And some of us were still hiding, thinking that we're wrong and that these people are so righteous. But what if you walking into that room brought in such a spirit that their demons were irritated and they treated you just horrible? They laughed at you. They mocked you. They pointed at you. They spoke words of death over you. And because you couldn't find the space to stand firm in, again, victory that you have in Jesus' name, you ran off. And this word, take courage today. Take courage. You're going to be different. You're going to look different. You're going to talk different. And there are going to be some rooms that you are not invited into. And that is okay. And that is okay. Come back to Elijah. You know, Jezebel had killed so many prophets. Why? Because their spirits irritated her demons. Friend, your spirit is going to irritate some people's demons. And that's okay. If God tells you to go into a place that you know that you are supposed to be in, you stand in that place in victory. You stand in that place, because one thing that I know is that we serve a God who has never been alone. a God that has never been alone. And so he does not know what it's like to be alone, and he does not want you to be alone. He did not intend for you to be alone, to be isolated and sitting in shame and guilt and anxiety and stress. That is not what he has for your life. Victory is what he has for your life. Some of us, people are criticizing our praise. They're criticizing the way we worship. They're criticizing the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we share his love. Those people who criticize you, they don't know the battle that you have gone through. Friend, today I'm believing that the humiliation that those people tried to put on you, that it be overcome with joy. That it fall short to joy instead. That it fall short to joy instead, because that is who you are. He says, I made you in the image of God. I made you in the image of God, which therefore means that you are pure of heart and that your core is the fruit of the Spirit. I made you in my image. Friend, right now, if you're journaling, I just want you to write down what humiliations have been put on you. What lies have you been believing? And the reason why I want you to write them down is because I want you to let them come out. I was given a word today. This was for someone. God gave me this word today. And he said this, and this was just someone. But he said, there's one last thing that you still need to hand over. He says, you've handed over a lot of the things that you've done in the past. You've handed over so much, and you've let go of so much. He says, but there's this one last thing that is still for you to hand over, and it's holding you back. He says, it's buried really deep down. Like, it's so deep that you're like, it's really hard to pull out, because it's like, is it even there? It's so deep. It's like in the little crooks of deep down, right? He says, but he wants to heal this wound. And he gave me a vision. And probably because I'm a mom of three. But when my children have a wound, whether it's small or large, the first thing that they do is they run to me or their father. And they say, help me with this wound. I'm hurt. I need your help healing my wound. And what they do is, even though that it may hurt cleaning out that wound, it may hurt to clean it out. It may hurt to put the disinfectant on it. It may hurt to put the antibiotic ointment on it. It may hurt even to put the Band-Aid on it and then hurt again when we have to rip the Band-Aid off to put a new on it. But they still, each and every time, they come to us with these wounds and they say, help me, Father. Help me, Father, with these wounds, because I can't seem to tend to these myself. And then when they come to us with these wounds, even though they know that there's going to be some sort of a pain in the healing process, they still come with the need to help with the healing. And so as this word came over me, that's what I saw. I saw these children coming to their father and saying, Father, here's my wound. It's really deep. And I'm scared. But I trust you, Father. I trust that if I bring this wound to you, you will know what to do with it best. That you are a healer. And I can trust you with this wound. And that you have the ability that after you heal this wound, that even if I try to go back and I try to make it wound again, Father, you have the ability to never let that wound me again. And so there's someone here today. He didn't give me a name. It's someone here today who you've taken so much to him. There's so much shame and humiliation and guilt and sadness that you have taken to him already. He says there's one last thing. It's been hindering you from moving on. He says, my daughter, my son, take courage today. He says, for I have already overcome this wound. Victory has already been claimed on this wound. He has already forgiven you. He says, I don't blame this wound on you. I bless you. I bless whoever that word is for this morning. And I just bless that God will heal that wound quickly. That last wound that is in there, and it's so deep. It's so deep that it come out today. And it be covered in his joy and his grace and his mercy and his love. And that from here on out, today forward, that you continue to take courage. And you continue to now be the person that others can come to and say, point me in the direction of how I heal this wound. And you simply are a conduit. To help plug others into the healer of their wounds. I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. And yes, agape love. The other word that God had given me this morning, and it was so fitting. I just saw, I don't watch too many of your comments because they go by pretty fast, but also too, I don't want it ever take me out of the moment. But every once in a while, I get a glimpse. And I saw somebody write Ephesians 6:12, and I think that stood out to me because the other word that I had was this was a word for someone. And I just know that there are some days when I'm praying over your names where God very specifically gives me a word for specifically you. And there are days where I have taken your name to him in masses, and today he simply said, there's not a name that needs to be attached to this. And sometimes that is because he does not want the person who the word is for to feel shame or guilt simply because their name is attached to it. Remember, his word tells us that we prophesy in a word of comfort to men, right? That this is comforting. And so I believe that this is part of it sometimes, is that he says, I'm not going to attach a name to this. They will know that this is their word. But you, Allison, don't need the name because you've already brought it to me. And the person who needs to hear it is already here because they've come to me for it. And so this word that I had was in regards to someone who is preparing to go up against a giant. There is someone here who you are getting prepared. You are, like, you know that, like David, right? That you are fully aware that there is a battle that is about to take place. You are aware of what the giant looks like and how he has prepared. Now, just like David, right, there was a month that went by, right, where they saw the giant. They saw the giant fully in his armor. And yet, you know, you think like, wait, they saw how scared the Israelites were. And again, how powerful God is to hold them off, even though they could see how scared they were. And they could have just come over and just overtaken them. But they didn't. And it was a month. There was a preparation, right, that David went through. And how he prepared to defeat the giant. Now, I believe right now what God was saying is there's a preparation that's happening. We all face giants. So don't think that this word is like, oh my gosh, God's saying that I'm going to face a giant. We all face giants, right? We're all in a space where we have the victory to watch those giants fall, right? But this word is for someone who they're in it. They're in the preparation period, right? They're in the preparation period. And I just heard God say, Ephesians 6:11, right? 6:11, that we have to put on our full armor of God. You know, some of us are, and I believe again that in this word is that we're forgetting that part each morning, that we're forgetting to prepare in that way. Like, oh no, I'm good. I'm good. Like, God is with me. I am good. And his word tells us that Because in Ephesians 6:12, I think what somebody posted here, right? That Ephesians 6:12 tells us that for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, right? But against rulers and authorities and principalities and powers of a dark world, right? So we have to put on the armor of God each and every morning. We have to prepare for that battle. Now, here's what the word that I heard for someone is that right now, God is preparing you like David for this battle. You are going into a battle with a giant, and the giant looks big, and he's intimidating, and he is in his armor, right? He is in his fleshly armor. He is ready to battle. He is ready to win. They're fully armed. And so God says, you must come prepared. You must put on your full armor of God with the knowledge and the belief and the faith that victory has been won. Now, one of the other things that I've always loved about David's story is that when David came to defeat the giant, he had 5 stones, but he only needed one. He only needed one. What I love about this is that David prepared. He prepared. He knew that victory was his. And with God, he only needed one. And so I just want to pray over those of you who receive this word today and who can relate to David and the giants that stand in front of you. The giants that so many others have come up against and they've fleed. Some who you thought, surely they'd never flee in this situation, but they fled. Because I believe what God's saying right now is that each and every one of us are going to have a giant so that we can watch them fall and so that victory can be claimed. Friend, I believe that today you have a victory standing on the other side of your giant. I believe that you are preparing as you put on the full armor of God. Thank you, Jesus, that I believe that this victory, yes, is a victory like David's. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the lineage of Jesus. We thank you for the continued story of Jesus, God. God, we thank you that we get to be a part of your story, God. That you have us here to be a part of it. I thank you, Jesus, for that. I thank you for those who are claiming victory today, God. Thank you, Jesus. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Bless you in Jesus' name. And so I'm just going to go through here and I'm going to look at some words that I have or some names that I have and just ask God. I'm going to pray over these names and ask God to bless you or if he gives me a word on the spot, then we will do that. How are we doing on time, honey?
10:51.
Okay, so I've got about 4 minutes because Ian has a meeting today. So I have to be on time today. But I want to bless you. I want to bless you, Victoria. I want to bless you in Jesus' name. Victoria, I believe there was a word spoken here for you today. I believe there's a word that that you received here today specifically for your journey. Thank you, Jesus. I heard this is, and I know this is something that I know that Allison knows, but I believe that God's trying to reveal something deeper. Victoria, I know that you, like so many other people, you question sometimes, how do I hear from God? How do people hear from God? And I think God, I just hear God saying, like, he's so pleased that you even have that question. He's so pleased that you even come to ask that question, because what that tells him is that you're seeking that. You're seeking to hear his voice. And I just hear the Holy Spirit saying that you have always heard my voice. My voice has always been with you. But because it's so common, it's easy for you to dismiss. And that's a word for someone other than just Victoria, because there's someone else who feels like they can't really hear from God. And he's just saying right now, like, my voice has always been with you, but it's become so commonplace to you that you shrug it off, or you think, no, that can't possibly be it, because he has always been with you. You hear his voice. He says, lean into that, what seems so common. Lean into that. Look for his confirmations that have been all over the place. I bless you, Victoria, and I bless whoever that word is for. I thank you, Jesus, for that word. And I bless you. I bless you, Kara. I bless you, Kara. Kara, I just hear God saying right now that you have, I see a ladder. I see like a blanket ladder. And it's got like these blankets on it. And it's a fairly long blanket ladder though. So there's like lots of blankets to choose from. But there's this big white, like really thickly knit blanket on this ladder. And he says, Kara, I want you to come over to that ladder, and I want you to pick up specifically this white, really chunky, thick knit blanket. And thank you, Jesus. And he's showing me, Kara, that you're taking the blanket and you're wrapping it around, and you're then going and you're sitting in like a place on your couch or a favorite chair. And I see you. I see you pull your knees up, and your head goes down. And I just see you there. And he thank you, Jesus. He's saying, wrap me around you. And as you wrap the blanket around you, just as my word and 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians states that I am, excuse me, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians says that I am your comforter, right? That I am your comfort, and I comfort all your afflictions. That I comfort you. And this is not a word for Kara, but this is someone else who this is going in conjunction with the comforter. And it's someone, again, this is an offshoot of Kara, but this is someone who's dealing with addiction. And I just hear the Holy Spirit saying that the only way you're ever going to overcome this addiction is to deal with the trauma. And I see you coming in that, in a similar space, going and very, again, there's so, thank you, Jesus. He's revealing this as I speak, is that I see him saying this, the reason why there's so many there's so many different blankets to choose from. There's so many different options out there that people want to tell you that there is, but he says, I'm the only comforter. I'm the only one that you're going to take off of this ladder, that you're going to be able to wrap around you. I am the great comforter, and I am here to comfort you, and I am here to help you deal and heal this trauma that is the root of your addiction. And I thank you, Jesus. I see someone who's dealing with addiction right now who... Yeah, they can barely walk over to the ladder. I know it's hard. It's hard. The ladder seems like it's far away, and you can see it though, and you can see this white, big, thick, chunky blanket. And he's saying, just keep walking. I'm with you. Come walk over to the ladder, pick up the blanket, pick me up, wrap me around you, and sit in this place, and we will deal with this together. We will heal this wound, this trauma together. I thank you, Jesus, for that word. I thank you, Kara, that you know your Lord so well that it's an easy trip for you to go grab him. But also, too, I thank you, Jesus, I hear him saying, sometimes when we know him so well, we forget to go and pick up the blanket, too. Instead, we go and we turn on the fireplace, or we maybe sometimes reach for those other blankets in place of him. Oh, and I bless you. I bless this word today. Thank you, Jesus, for this word. Thank you for the unveiling that you will speak on this word for so many today, God. God, I thank you. And I just want to pray over Lenny. Lenny, I bless you in Jesus' name. I bless you in Jesus' name. And Amber, Amber, I bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Odin, sweet baby Odin, I bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Heather, I bless you in Jesus' name. Sherry and Charlie, I bless you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Sherry and Charlie, I hear God saying something about palm trees. I don't know where you're located, but this is about somewhere that you're going. And palm trees and sun and sand. I just hear him saying that there's going to be a renewal that takes place there, a revival that takes place in this place. And it's going to start in your act of obedience of going to this place. And I bless you, Sherry and Charlie, in Jesus' name. I bless you, Sherry and Charlie, in Jesus' name. And Shay, you left your name last time, and Ian had specifically asked me to pray for you again. And God's bringing up your name right now, and I hear the word baptism, Shay. I hear the word baptism. It's been something that that you've experienced before, but that it's as a child, perhaps. And I just hear God saying that He wants you to come and just immerse yourself in the water. And be made new, be made clean, be refreshed. And I just hear that word that he's baptizing you. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I bless you in Jesus' name. Okay, guys, we have to get going a little bit early today. I love you. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're good. We're still on time. Okay. I'm just going to close it in prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, thank you today. Thank you for today. God, thank you that today was different. I love that that you are like that, God, that you can just, you just have your way, and you just, I just feel your spirit is just such a peaceful and calm spirit today, God. God, I feel you all around us. I thank you. I thank you for today. I thank you for your message. I thank you for your heart for your people. God, I thank you today that healing is happening and courage is being taken. God, I thank you that that you are the greatest healer and the greatest comforter there is, God. That you are the great I am. I love you, Jesus. I glorify you and I magnify you, Lord. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. Be blessed. We love you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for a revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.
I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you? you, Jesus, or in awe of you, be still. Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, one will my heart feel. Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine, yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees? I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine.
Away, oh, the over. was your fault. Still your love far from me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. And oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. And I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, now you won't tear down, coming after me.
heal my wounded soul. You said that I could come into his presence without fear, into the holy place where his mercy hovers near. I'm running to the mercy seat where Jesus is calling. He said his grace would cover me, his blood will flow freely, it will provide the healing. I'm running to the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy seat. Are you in the curse of a lifetime of sin? Lovely illusions, they never come true. I know where there's a place of mercy for you. You said you could come into his presence without.
I must listen house I'm living in is needing repair. The windows and the shutters are letting in the cold, cold air. I say to myself, I'm gonna fix 'em when I can get the time. But all I've been getting lately is leaving on my mind. Lately all I've got is leaving on my mind. Seems that's all should be looking for a better place to live, but I can't seem to get excited about the world and what it can give. For I couldn't care less if I could buy it all with a solitaire. For what good would a world do me with leaving on my mind? Leave it.
You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, we'll see your search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord.
I will praise you,
and I will sing of love come down.
I will sing of love come down.
And as you show your face, we'll see your glory. See your glory here. We'll see your glory
that shines so bright. good night to arms that hold me tight, that little girl of mine. No one will ever know just what her coming has meant, because we love her so. She's something heaven has sent. She climbs up on my knee. She's all the world to me. To me she'll always be that little girl of mine. Tousled lock of hair, a heart without a care, an angel unaware, that little boy of mine. 2 feet that run and play, a head that bows to pray, more precious every day, that little boy of mine. No one will ever know just what his coming has meant, because we love him so. He's something heaven has sent. He climbs upon my knee. He's all the world to me. To me he'll always be that little boy of mine.
Wishing you were here. know where you are. The hurt and the pain disappear. There's no more tears. I can hear the sound as angels gather around, saying this is where you belong. Welcome home.
I stand in him complete. Jesus died, my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat that Jesus paid it all. Me white.